Amen.
Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen. We worship you, we praise you.
You hold together all things in heaven and on earth. In your great mercy, receive the prayers of all your children and give to all the world the spirit of your truth and peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from the 17th chapter of Acts. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I see how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you, the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him, though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own poets have said, 'For we too are his offspring.' Since we are God's offspring, we ought not to think that the deity, like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of mortals. While God has overlooked the times of human ignorance, now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will have the world judged in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed, and of this he has given assurance to all, raising him from the dead." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 66 responsively with me. "Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. For you, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried.
You brought us into the net. You laid burdens on our backs.
You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us out to a spacious place.
I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows.
Those that my lips have uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble.
I will offer you burnt offerings and sacrifices, with the smoke of sacrifice of rams. I will make an offering of bulls and goats.
Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what he has done for me.
I cried out to him, and he was swollen with my tongue.
If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened.
But truly God has listened. He has given heed to the words of my prayer.
Blessed be God, because he has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love for me. The second reading is from the third chapter of 1 Peter. "Now who will harm you if you are eager to do what is good? But even if you do suffer for doing what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear, and do not be intimidated, but in your hearts sanctify Christ as Lord. Always be ready to make your defense to anyone who demands from you an accounting for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and reverence. Keep your conscience clear so that when you are maligned, those who abuse you for your good conduct in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if suffering should be God's will, than to suffer for doing evil. For Christ also suffered for his sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring you to God. He was put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which also he went and made a proclamation to the spirits in prison, who in former times did not obey, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were saved through water. And baptism, which this prefigured, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers made subject to him. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. This is the gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. We have lots of kids today, and I'm really happy to see that. And I didn't plan anything for the kids, but why don't you all come up here, and I'm gonna try to do this off the top of my head, and we'll see how bad it goes. So I apologize in advance if it goes really bad. You guys can sit down. Unless you, do you have something to sing to us or anything? No? Okay, y'all can sit down. All right, so I was told that as a father, I was not allowed to give my children any reminders, but as their vicar, I am reminding, today is what? If you're my children and you haven't told your mom Happy Mother's Day yet, today is Mother's Day, right? So Mother's Day is an interesting day. It's a day to celebrate moms. It's a day to celebrate mom-like figures, people who have acted as moms in our lives. So feel free to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mother-like figures in your life. But of course, say Happy Mother's Day to your mother. Did you do it? Oh, he didn't? Oh, man, did you say it? Yes, did you? Yes! So it's the older one that didn't. All right, sorry to call you out. So anyway, I'm sorry. That wasn't fair. But what I think is important today Jesus gives us something of a farewell. In the gospel reading today, it's confusing, it's kind of crazy, but it's really hard to read. But it's a farewell, and I think at some point I have a mother. At some point I had to say farewell to my mother, right? Some point you all will, you know, graduate, and Lydia's a little closer than some of the others, you know, and you'll say farewell to mothers, right? You'll say, bye, I'm going to college, or I'm going to wherever. But does that mean that what you learned from your mothers or the mother-like figures in your life is gone? No. That knowledge and information and love that they have given you, that will continue on with you, and it will always be with you and forever be with you, right? Yes? All right. That's all I got because I didn't plan anything. So we're going to say a quick prayer of thanks for mothers and mother-like figures, and then I'm going to send you back to your seats, okay? Can you repeat after me? Oh, he thinks he's so funny. All right. Dear God, thank you for the gift of mothers. Thank you for the mothers you have given us. Thank you for those who serve as mothers in our lives. It is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. Go on. Thank you for coming up. If you haven't said it yet, say it. And all of you do? No, I have not yet said Happy Mother's Day to my mom. But what will I see her today? All right, I'm done. Okay, so a little note on today's sermon. It is a sermon within a sermon, so you guys get two sermons for the price of one today. So it's a little more complex than normal, but I think you'll be able to follow. And it's super long, Mike, super long.
So it's double time?
Double time. Yeah, you guys got to pay me extra for this. Anyway, I gave him a warning. Today's gospel comes from Jesus' farewell discourse, as I told the kids, as did last Sunday's gospel, which said, like over and over again, I am in the Father, and he is in me, and I am in him, and me in him, and we in us, and I in you, and on and on and on and on and on. That was also part of the farewell discourse. So this farewell discourse to the gospel of is unique to the gospel of John. It is the only place it appears in the gospel. So, I know this is Easter season. I know this is either Easter season, but to really understand what's going on in this farewell discourse, we need to step back several weeks to Maundy Thursday. And what do we read from on Maundy Thursday? Anybody? It's the Gospel of John. What do we read? What gospel specifically? What do we do on Maundy Thursday?
Wash our feet.
Wash our feet. Yes. Doesn't tell his mom Happy Mother's Day, but at least he redeemed himself with that. We wash our feet. We wash our feet. So Maundy Thursday is a celebration of the Last Supper, but we always read from the Gospel of John, specifically 13, where Jesus and his disciples share a farewell meal, otherwise known as the Last Supper. So interestingly enough, the Gospel of John doesn't include the words of institution. He's the only one that doesn't do it. This is my body given for you, this is my blood shed for you. It instead focuses on the foot washing, right? Jesus, the teacher and leader of the disciples, becoming the lowly servant, humbly washing their feet, a demonstration of this new commandment. And then he goes on, and then he goes on to prophesy his betrayal. Judas leaves the gathering. Jesus gives that new commandment, which is, anybody? As I have loved you, love one another. Then Jesus tells them, good job, by the way. And then Jesus tells them, you can't go where I'm going. And what does Peter say? Yes, I can, Lord, I'll go with you everywhere. And Jesus is like, yeah, no, you're going to deny me tonight, actually. Not once, not twice, but thrice. And all of this happens. All of this happens just in the 13th chapter of John, which prepares Jesus' disciples to hear this farewell discourse, which started last Sunday at the beginning of chapter 14 and continues today into more of chapter 14. They are still in the place where they ate this Last Supper together. And Jesus is, in this discourse, as its name belies, saying goodbye to his disciples. As I said, it begins with the first verse in 14, I am the Father, he and me, I and him, and continues today and extends through chapter 14. It goes through all of chapter 15 and all of chapter 16. And then we get to chapter 17, and Jesus offers a farewell prayer. Some consider it part of the discourse, others don't. I don't care, and I don't really think you should either, whether it's really part of the discourse. That's for a bunch of Bible nerds to figure out. They can argue about it. But after this farewell prayer, we are told at the beginning of chapter 18 of John's Gospel, Jesus went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley to a place where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And it is here that Jesus was betrayed. Jesus was arrested, bound, handed over to the high priest, then to Pontius Pilate. And well, we know the rest, don't we? But here's the thing. So did Jesus. Jesus knew what was going to happen next. And he is, while he is still with them, providing words of comfort and hope in this farewell discourse to console the disciples of the grief that he knows will soon be coming. That is what this discourse is all about. Now, we have had two consecutive farewell Sundays of farewell discourse, and this aligned with the end of my seminary journey. And three of my friends who are leaving their internship contacts either last week or this week had an opportunity to preach this farewell discourse as their farewell sermon, and I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty bitter about it. But not just because these texts are perfect for a farewell message, but mostly because it sets up really cheap but still funny jokes. And you guys know that I love cheap jokes. So, for instance, this one from my friend Elizabeth. She says, Jesus is saying goodbye to the disciples in this passage, although the fate that awaits him is far more daunting than entering the ELCA's first call process. See? That's a funny joke, right? Except for I disagree with her. The first call process with the essays and the endorsement and the approval interviews and all the bureaucracy at the churchwide level is worse than crucifixion. Now's when you laugh, and then now's when I say I'm kidding, of course, and then I add, sort of. I'm not really kidding. Yeah. And if anyone from my future approval panel's listening, I'm sorry. Kind of. And though this isn't my farewell to you, and I want to be very clear here, I am happy that this is not a farewell to you all. I am standing still in a place of farewell. On Friday evening at 5:22 p.m., Can you believe that the class ran 2 minutes over my last class? I finished my last class of seminary. And then I went to the online portal, clicked around, and in green letters next to MDivX, it said, "All requirements met," with an exclamation point at the end. Finished! As in, thank you, thank you. As in, farewell, seminary. But before that, in the last assignment I turned in, at about 3 o'clock on Friday afternoon, I had a chance to reflect on what it means to say farewell to seminary. And since you've been on this journey with me, I think it's appropriate that I share what I said in this message, in this reflection, I guess I would say. For context, this is my reflection on a series of letters written by Lutheran theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer when he was in Tegel prison in Germany near the end of World War II. Bonhoeffer, if you don't know, was ordered hanged by Hitler 10 days before the end of World War II, and he died a Christian martyr. So, here begins my sermon within a sermon. Reading through these last assigned readings for my entire seminary career, I couldn't help but think how appropriate they are to how I have experienced this journey and where I find myself at this moment, looking at a kind of end. Though hopefully not the same end as Bonhoeffer was looking at, and grappling with difficult, even unanswerable questions. And yet, here I am at the end of seminary with more questions than I arrived with. This, I think, is what I sense from Bonhoeffer when he asked this question. Does the question about saving one's soul appear in the Old Testament at all? Does the question about saving one's soul appear in the Old Testament at all? And Bonhoeffer's answer is no. That's right. You may be surprised by that. Growing up and even into adulthood, it seemed like Christianity, Lutheran Christianity even, was focused on saving one's own soul, right? That's what this is all about. Bad people go to hell, good people go to heaven, so be good, right? And at some point, there was this poorly constructed, added in, grace alone, faith alone, justification theology, and it just confused me. Wait, so you're telling me I don't have to be good because God's grace is made available through faith? No, that's not how it works. Oh, I should be good because of grace. Now I was just more confused. Like I said, it was a poorly constructed Lutheran justification theology in my mind. And though it improved significantly before I went to seminary, the teaching of my youth was still ingrained when I entered. This grace made available through faith is what allows us to be sucked up into heaven when we die, right? While I don't think we should cast this thinking aside, grace isn't just about some future about our death either, beyond our death. It matters for this world, right? Grace matters for this world. It has to. So Bonhoeffer writes prolifically against the limited concern of otherworldly salvation as his letters and his life near an end. And in doing so, he names the work of Christ as being for this world. He says this, "It is not with the beyond that we are concerned, but with this world as created and preserved, subjected to laws, reconciled and restored." Bonhoeffer then goes on to explain a line in a poem that he wrote. He says, "Christians stand steadfast by their God oppressed." Let me say that again. Christians stand steadfast by their God oppressed. This, says Bonhoeffer, is what distinguishes Christians from pagans. And now this is me talking, lest we feel great about that because we are Christians. Bonhoeffer goes on to criticize how religion looks at God as only a supplier of needs. A supplier of needs whose usefulness is solely to produce benefits, which is, of course, an attitude hardly different from paganism. So kind of what he's saying is even Christians can be pagans too. The Christian stands with their God oppressed. But what does this look like? To Bonhoeffer, it's very clear. Jesus asked his disciples in Gethsemane, "Could you not watch with me for 1 hour?" Now, that is a reversal of what the religious person expects from their God, isn't it? We are summoned to share in God's suffering at the hands of a godless world. We are summoned, Bonhoeffer says, to share in God's sufferings at the hands of a godless world. What a reversal this is. And what a reversal I have experienced during this seminary journey. This understanding is an expansion, even, of the reversal I've experienced on the last day of seminary, no less. Just as Bonhoeffer was grappling with this understanding of what it meant to be a Christian even in the last days of his life, I too grapple even in my last days of seminary. And this must continue, right? I must continue reading and studying and grappling, not just for me, but not just for me. The fruits of this grappling extend beyond me to the parish here that I serve. And if I do my job right, and you all listen rather than sleep, it will hopefully extend out into the world beyond these doors. We cannot, as Christians, simply be concerned with that great beyond, what happens when we die. We must not only share in the suffering of others, we must share in God's sufferings at the hands of a godless world. And honestly, that's an idea that was just introduced to me 2 days ago, so I'm not sure what it looks like yet. I do know, however, that the gospel exists for this world, and therefore we cannot sit idly by waiting to be sucked into heaven. As Bonhoeffer says, Jesus calls people not to a new religion, but to life. And it is hope in this life that allows us to share in God's sufferings at the hands of this godless, otherwise hopeless world. End sermon within a sermon, continue other sermon. So I guess this is my farewell discourse. Not to you all, but to seminary. But here's the thing. As I think you heard in this final reflection that I fumbled through a little bit, there is no turning back to 2 years ago for me. I can't unlearn what I've learned. I can't unhear what I've heard. It's all up here in my head. And if you watch my pondering this week, it's here in my heart. It has changed who I am. It has changed my entire being. Jesus gave his farewell discourse just before he was taken to be crucified. But the words he gave in this discourse, while they were meant for the disciples in that moment, they were also meant to teach and comfort and give hope for when Jesus was gone. Not when he was still there and present with the disciples. So while it may seem odd that during the Easter season, for two weeks in a row now, we read a gospel message from the farewell discourse from before Jesus was crucified, it makes perfect sense because the disciples' future, our future, this world's future, was and has been forever changed because of Jesus Christ. Yes, this farewell was meant for the disciples as they gathered for that Last Supper, but it was so much more important for them and us to reflect on after the crucifixion, when the resurrected and soon to be ascended Jesus, this Thursday, by the way, it's when they scheduled it. That was a cheap joke. You're supposed to laugh. Soon to be ascended Jesus was no longer there to preach and guide every minute of every day. They were meant for a day like today. This farewell was meant for a day like today and a day like tomorrow and the day after that. So, for my farewell to seminary, for Jesus' farewell for his disciples as he prepares them, as he prepares to be sucked up into heaven this week, and for all farewells, not because it's fun to say goodbye. It's so hard to say goodbye. But because of the comfort and hope that farewells provide. So for those farewells, I say, thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
and sisters, I ask you to join me in professing what we believe using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
United in the hope and joy of the resurrection, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who have need.
God, our faithful companion, you promised to never leave us and to send your Spirit to guide us in wisdom and truth. Send your people into the world to serve as mirrors that reflect and magnify your love. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. All the earth sings praises to you. Grant your care to the creatures, plants, and places that are suffering, and equip us to respond to their song. Make us agents of restoration and refreshment for all your beloved creation. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You call all people of the world your children. Judge the nations justly. Show mercy to all who are oppressed, and speak truth to power through your prophets. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Nurturing Lord, you sent your Spirit to grant us peace. Make your presence known to those who feel abandoned or alone, and to all who are sick or grieving, especially the worsening crisis in Sudan and the ongoing war in Ukraine, and all who question if there is a home in your heart. We pray for all who are sick, especially Marcella, Linda, Delbert, Karen, Janet, Joy, Stephanie, Jamie, Deb, Frida, Heidi, Kate, Bill, Kate, Deanne, Linda, Patty, Tim, Ed, Wilma. Those that are touched by First Lutheran's outreach ministries, and those that we name now, either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. We also lift all care workers, healthcare workers and aid workers, those who provide care to these and all people in any way. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. You hold us in loving care. We pray for mothers and mother figures. Console all who long to be mothers, children estranged from their mothers, anyone grieving the death of a mother, and mothers who have lost a child. Support all for whom this day is difficult. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Rejoicing in the victory of Christ's resurrection, we lift our prayers and praise to you, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. And now may the peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
And I invite you to share a sign of peace with one another.
Should I like round them up or?
At this time, we will continue with our gifts and our offerings.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Generous God, in this meal you offer your very self. We give thanks for these gifts of the earth. In the breaking of this bread, reveal to us the risen one. In the pouring of this wine, pour us out in service to the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up our hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of our Savior Jesus Christ, the true Paschal Lamb who gave himself to take away our sin, who in dying has destroyed death and in rising has brought us to eternal life. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join in singing their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." With this bread and cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and wine. Bless this feast. Grace our table with your presence.
Come, Holy Spirit.
Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with peace, justice, and love.
Come, Holy Spirit.
With your holy ones of all times and places, with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God, blessed and holy Trinity, now and forever.
Amen.
Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray together as our Lord Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The table is prepared. Come and eat. Please stand as you're able to do so. And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in God's grace.
Amen. Amen. Gracious God, in you we live and move and have our being. With your word and this meal of grace, you have nourished our lives together. Strengthen us to show your love and to serve the world In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You may be seated for a few announcements, all of which I think are very important this morning. The first announcement is we have our spring safety day this Saturday. So please, whether you are here to volunteer or you just want to show up, please, you are all invited. And I think they could use a few more volunteers still. If you have a bike that is either 16, 18, or 20-inch wheel diameter that you'd like to lend us for that, you'll get it back. Also that. And was there anything else to know of? So, and at the very least, please pray, one, for good weather, and two, for the sanity of those who are involved in putting it together this week, and three, for a successful event for the community. Number two, mothers. I think as we named in our prayer today, this is not necessarily a joyous day for all. There are those who have lost children. There are those who have lost, as I'm sure many of you know, who have lost mothers that they grieve for. So on this day, we give thanks for our mothers. We give prayers of thanksgiving for mothers and those who have acted as mothers in our lives. And we also remember those who served as mothers to us. And finally, as I talked about prolifically in my sermon, I am graduating, and I will be gone for next Sunday and the following Sunday. In the meantime, I think we have Mike's number in the bulletin, is that right? So please contact Mike for any emergency pastoral care needs, and he will put you into contact with the right person, probably Pastor Rich, but depending on the situation, it could be somebody else. So, and lastly with that, thank you all. This is a Sunday where many are saying, with my group, are saying goodbye and farewell, and I'll beat her saying goodbye, whatever, to their, you know it, yeah, that's right, to their congregations, and I am so happy that I am not. You all have welcomed me. You have walked with me. It's just been a tremendous 2 years with you all, and I look forward in 2 weeks to continuing that with you all. But for now, my brain needs a big break. But thank you all. You guys have stepped up in this congregation and done so much to lead it yourselves, and I think that is so healthy for a congregation, and I look forward to doing that together with you all in the future. But for now, I have been asked to slightly alter something about how we do our noisy offering, and I think it's a good idea. So we do our noisy offering during the closing hymn. Please remain seated during the closing hymn so it's easier to pass the offering, and then once you get the offering through, stand up and sing as loud as you want. All right. Okay. Have you prayed yet? We're at the blessing? All right, we're at the blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. So, can we get some kids to help? All right, I see three. All right. Oh, we don't have them? All right, start playing. I'll get the stuffs.
Thank you.
Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
And now go in peace and serve the risen one.